So 2 Chronicles chapter 33, we'll read verses 1 down to verse 13. It is the testimony of Manasseh, and so pray that God will bless us. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times, used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit. And with wizards he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law, and the statutes and ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just bow, and wonderful passage we have just read. I wonder, has the Lord been speaking to you, and you have not hearkened unto him? The Lord's been speaking to you in this gospel mission about getting right with him, about getting saved, and still you have not hearkened unto his voice. We pray that the Lord will continue to move among us, and we pray this day you'll come to him. Father in heaven, we pray, O God, that will bless the preaching of thy word. Lord, give us help, we ask of thee. Give the people stickability, yea, even to listen today. And Father, we ask of thee that thou wilt write thy word upon each and every heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When Manasseh came to the throne, he was 12 years of age. He ruled over Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, for 55 years. He was the son of King Hezekiah. And while Hezekiah was not a perfect man, yet he did seek to please the Lord. God used Hezekiah in a time of restoration and revival in the land. He brought the nation back to worship God. And therefore, Manasseh was the son of a godly father, a mighty man in prayer. However, because his father, Hezekiah, trusted in God, that did not mean automatically that Manasseh also trusted in God. While Manasseh was naturally born into an earthly royal family, yet he was not naturally born into a heavenly and eternal royal family. In other words, Manasseh was not born on the road to heaven. He was not born as a Christian. There was not something different about him. Because his father, if we would use the term, was a Christian, did not mean Manasseh was automatically a Christian. Rather, that at some point in his life, he needed to realize that he himself was a sinner, and he needed to come and put his faith and trust in the promised Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you must do today. Your mum, your dad, your granny, your friend, husband or wife, they may be a born-again believer. They may be saved by the grace of God. But that does not make you a Christian. You do not become a Christian because mum or dad or anybody else is a Christian. You become a Christian because you realized, I am lost in sin, and I must do what my mum has done, what my dad has done, what my granny has done, what my granda has done, and that is come personally and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And we pray in this gospel mission that there'll be some young person, some older person, that you will come and receive Christ to be your Savior. Like all men, Manasseh was born with a corrupt nature, marred by sin. And such a corrupt nature resulted in his daily pursuits and practices, bent and leaning and favorable towards sin. Fallen men and women will always act according to their corrupt nature. A sinful nature will always choose sin and its sinful pleasures and corrupt activities. Manasseh's corruption, his sinful life, is summarized for us in verse 2, that he did that which was evil or wicked in the sight of the Lord. And these words, of course, are written over many of the Old Testament kings, especially the kings of Israel. But here they are written over one of the kings of Judah. And how applicable they are as far as Manasseh is concerned. For there was no man more wicked who sat on the throne of Jerusalem. Manasseh's corrupt nature is seen by the fact of his rebellious defiance in rejecting his father's religion that had been so blessed by God. We think of children who have the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, listening to their mother's prayers or their father's wise counsel. And yet, like Manasseh, they have turned their face away. They have refused that counsel. They have rejected the word taught in the home. You think of Absalom. Remember David's son. He rebelled. He led a revolt against his father. And so in the life of Manasseh, he is one of those whose testimonies is recorded in Scripture to show that there is hope. Parents, there's hope for you, for your wayward children. That child, maybe, that had sat under family devotion, had sat under the house of God with you, and now they're in rebellion. They've turned against the things of God, and you think, is there any hope? Well, you read Manasseh's life, and there is always hope in the Lord. The story of Manasseh is recorded in two parts of Scripture, 2 Kings chapter 21, and also 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Now, if you were to take the account in 2 Kings chapter 21, there's no reference to his conversion. And in reading that passage, one may think that Manasseh lived in sin and died in sin and therefore would have died without hope. However, we come to this account in 2 Chronicles, and that gives the other half, and that shows us while he was living in sin, yet he was saved by the grace of God. And therefore, Manasseh's life is a trophy of sovereign grace. And therefore, we would say, every sinner saved by the grace of God is a trophy of sovereign grace. And so as we come to the message about Manasseh. Parents, there's hope for your children. There's hope in the gospel for children that have rebelled against that biblical teaching. God is able to move mightily in their life and to save them, to turn them to himself. And even for you, young person, today, there's hope for you in the gospel. Maybe you have been like Manasseh. You've been taught the truth and you've rebelled against your mum and your dad's counsel. I say to you, there's hope for you in the gospel, because there was hope for Manasseh, and we look at his testimony today. Notice some thoughts. The course of Manasseh's sin. Notice it was a determined course. Manasseh was determined to remove any influence of God in his life, though he had a godly upbringing. I know people that I've spoken to in years gone by, and they've been brought up in Christian homes, and they make this claim that they can't wait till they get to a certain age, because at that age, they can leave the influence. They can leave the family devotion. They can leave the things of God. They don't want to hear it anymore. And so Manasseh, his course was a determined course. He wanted to do away with all influence from his father. Verses 3 to 4. He built again the high places which his father had broken down. What his father sought to remove, Manasseh brought in. And isn't that the case? The parents, they labor in prayer and they seek to have a godly home, a home that is Christ exalting, to protect the children, to have them under the sound of the word. But at certain ages or certain years, the children then begin to bring things into the home. The things that were put out have now been brought back in. He had broken down, he had reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped the host of heaven and served them. He built altars, all these false idols, in the house of the Lord. He had set up worship for Baal and Ashtaroth in the courts of the temple. And so here's a man who's mixing all forms of religion. He is becoming an idolater, breaking God's law. He was not satisfied with one false god. Rather, he had a set of many religious idols and many idolatrous rituals. He set up altars in the name of Balaam. And remember, you have Baal and then Balaam. The I-M is plural in the Hebrew. And so here is the worship of many, many gods. He brought all this blasphemy into the house of God. He rebelled against the Lord. He observed times and used enchantments, witchcraft, dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He was eager in these pursuits. He multiplied his wicked imaginations against God. And therefore, men and women, that's where we are by nature. That's what we are, men and women, in our lost condition. We seek to worship our many gods, our many idols. And those who are not saved, as they've grown up in a Christian home, when they begin to rebel, they want to mix all the different gods and idols and standards of the world to bring it in. That's why Paul said to the church at Corinth, whenever the worst of sinners were saved, he said this at the end of a whole list of wicked sins, and such were some of you. To the church at Ephesus, he said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. That's to the course of the standard of the world, the love, the pride, the lust of the world. Jude said we walked after our ungodly lusts. We were determined to worship self and as servants of Satan. And while our sins may not have been the exact same as Manasseh, yet we still pursued a course with determination against God. Rebellion against God. Because Romans tells us that we are by nature the enemies of God. We want our own way, our own course of life. And that's how Manasseh was. He wanted his many religions, his many false idols. He did not want his father's God, his father's religion. He wanted his own religion. And therefore, this was his sin, his determined course to worship all the false idols and to put away the instruction, the counsel, the prayers from his father. Notice it was a deflecting course. Verse 9, Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err. Now that's interesting because we looked at that, even that word err. Remember when we came to yesterday of the shepherd or the sheep that has gone astray. And there it is, the word err, to go astray. He made Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to err, to stray. In other words, when I depart from the things of God, when I begin to worship my idols, I'm going to take the nation and others with me. And to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And so by his influence and by his position as king of the land, Manasseh, he deflected, he led the nation astray from God. 2 Kings chapter 21 verse 11, he made Judah also to sin with his idols. The whole land followed the king in its rebellion against God. The people seemed eager for this idolatry. They were following the king. Manasseh's purpose was to cause the nation to go in the ways of evil. And notice, to do worse than the heathen. That's where we are near enough now as a nation itself. The king of the land is leading the nation and the people in idolatry. All this nonsense of multi-faith all coming together, love and dovey. It is rebellion against God. And therefore, it is doing worse than the heathen. The king, can I get arrested? The king on the throne is basically a Manasseh, a man leading the country away from God. And therefore, we must pray for the king that the Lord will save him as he saved Manasseh. And then the king will bring us back to the word of God, bring the nation in the ways of God. So here is a king who is a stumbling block to others. He's allowing this false religion to go on. Yeah, he's promoting it in the land. Again, remember Absalom. He led a revolt. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 6. He stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He was leading a revolt against the king. You think of Eli's sons who were priests. Priests should have been leading the people in worship. They should have been directing the people towards the Lord by faith. And yet 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 24. Nay, my sons, it is no good report that I hear of ye, how ye make the Lord's people to transgress. Chapter 3 verse 13. His sons made themselves vile. How many today in position, as we said, in leadership in this land, in this country, whether the top politicians or whatever it may be, all are deflecting the nation away from the Bible, going by popular persuasion or whatever people want to introduce. They're following a course without Christ. And therefore, we need to pray that they will be drawn to the Lord and come to recognize Christ is the only head of the church, the savior of his body. Notice it was a destructive course because Manasseh had learned the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Those things that were put out, he brought back in. He made his children or caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And this idol was known as the false god of Moloch, made of brass. And it was this image, this idol, that was had arms out. And it was lit with flames hot. And people like Manasseh would have come with their children. And they would have put their children on this idol. And basically were up in flames, burned. Such was the evilness of the day. He caused his children to pass through the fire of the folly of the son of Hinnom. We would call this today abortion. No respect of life. Just getting rid of that child, not considering a life as being precious. And so here we have it here in Scripture. And so this was the wickedness of this man. 2 Kings 21, verse 16. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. And so sin is destructive. His sin is deceivous. His sin has put him in a situation that he's going further and further and deeper and deeper. He wants no influence of God anywhere near him. He wants the people to be led in rebellious activity. And anything that God through his Father put out or removed, he has brought it back in. Mark chapter 5, the man who was uncontrollable, the man who Satan controlled, his life was like that. So Manasseh's life shows sin will take you further than you ever want to go. It was a dangerous course. While Manasseh walked the course of sin, God spoke to Manasseh by sending him prophet after prophet, but he would not hearken. Verse 10, the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. There the message is given, return. The message was preached to Manasseh. But he would not hearken. He would not listen. He would not pay attention. He wanted his idols. He wanted his sin. He wanted to go his own way. And he wanted to lead the nation in rebellion. And so he was living a dangerous life. And therefore, men and women, you who are not saved today, and you listen unto the word of God week after week, and you're told of so great salvation, and you're told you must come to Christ. You're told about your sin, your danger that you're in, the path that you're heading. It's leading to eternal damnation. But you're called to repent. You're called to return. You're called to trust in Christ. Yet you pay no attention. You don't hearken to that message because you want the gods of this world, your own idols, your own worship, your own religion, your own way to heaven. It's a dangerous path. And that is the path of Manasseh. And that is the path that you're heading in, getting in all types and all courses of sin. Romans 5, verse 8. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The course of Manasseh's sin. But notice briefly the consequences of Manasseh's sin. King Manasseh was rebuked for his rejection and suffered the consequences of his sin. The Lord took Manasseh's throne away from him. His sin cost him everything. His sin cost him the throne. The king of Assyria came against him, and he was unable to resist his assault. Sennacherib, the former king of Assyria, had invaded the land in the days of Hezekiah, and the Lord had delivered his people. But now God allows the armies of Assyria to come upon Manasseh. And Manasseh's idols, his evil associates, his many false gods, none could deliver him. We learned that, didn't we, when we studied in our Bible study about the true and living God, when the message was from Elijah, call on the name of your God, and the God that answers by fire, he is the true and living God. And we learned that the people, they worshipped Balaam, many gods, and they were there calling and crying upon their God, hear us, hear us, hear us, from morning till noon. And they began to intervene. They began to jump upon their idols, hear us, hear us, hear us. But none answered. None paid any attention. Why? Because they were dead gods, false gods, men's imaginations, which can never deliver, which can never save. And that's what Manasseh is. His gods, his idols could not save him when the enemy came. Those gods he had prayed to, those gods he had worshipped, not one of them could spare him from the enemy's wrath. They failed him in a time of need. Notice he was bound with fetters and carried to Babylon. He was in affliction. He was unable to change his state. He was a prisoner in bondage, and he was bound, he was chained. Had Manasseh been left to the consequences of his sinful heart and lifestyle, he would have perished. And yet the Lord intervened in this man's life. Manasseh did not deserve the grace of God. Neither do any of us. Romans 5, verse 20, wherein sin abounded, grace did much more abound. If it was not for the amazing grace of God that stepped into Manasseh's life, he would have remained under the bondage and burden of sin and held a prisoner. And therefore, God in this time of affliction brought Manasseh low. He brought him to a point where he must listen. And so he was unable to help himself. He was unable to rescue himself. He could not free himself from the fetters, the chains that bound him. He could not escape from those who held him bondage as a prisoner. But the Lord was able to intervene. And so it is, sinner, with you. You are in bondage in your sin, as servants of unrighteousness, slaves to the wicked one. You cannot free yourself. You cannot save yourself. You cannot escape the wrath of God on yourself, on your own. But God is able to intervene. God is able to do for you in Christ what you cannot do yourself. And just as God brought Manasseh down to the point where he was able to listen, so God brings you to the point where you must listen. Can I ask? For Manasseh, he was given opportunity after opportunity, but he would not hearken. And God removed him and brought him as a prisoner. Can I ask, what will God take from you? What will God break in your life to get your attention? He got Manasseh's attention. And therefore I say to you, before God has to intervene in that way, I urge you now, while the gospel is preached, that you will turn from your wicked ways and you will turn to Christ in the gospel. Because Proverbs 13:15 states, the way of the transgressors is hard. And the way you've chosen is a hard way, because it will end in eternal damnation. Notice finally the conversion of Manasseh, or the conversion from Manasseh's sin. God handed Manasseh over to his foe in order for him to listen, in order for him to come in conversion, faith and repentance. In the prison of affliction, burdened down with a load of care, no power to break his chains, to set him free, Manasseh cried upon the Lord. He came with that broken and contrite heart. Verses 12 to 13. When he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication, and then brought again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. In other words, whenever he was when he repented, he was restored back. Remember, David prayed in Psalm 32, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, for thou forgavest me the iniquity of my sin. What did Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13? Remember, Paul saw himself as the chief of sinners. He said, I obtained mercy. He went on to say, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And therefore, Paul of the New Testament is the Manasseh of the Old Testament, a rebel, a wretched man, a sinner of sinners. And yet the Lord is able to work in the hardest of men. the most rebellious of hearts, he's able to save. The Lord Jesus Christ, he went to the cross of Calvary. He suffered in the sinner's place. He honored the law of God. He died the just for the unjust to bring sinners to God. And therefore the entrance into heaven is on the ground of atonement, on the ground of the precious blood. And therefore in the Old Testament, they were saved the exact same way we are. They looked by faith to the promised Savior. And they trusted in who he was and what he would do. We look back and we thank and trust in what Christ has done. And we depend upon his precious blood. Is there one today that you will come and you will seek the Lord? Is there one today, as God's word has been proclaimed and you've been given another opportunity today? Maybe there's one you're backslidden. You've grown up in a Christian home, but now you've departed from the word of God. You're not praying. You're not seeking the Lord. The things of the world has got in. Oh, you can come back to the Lord this day because he said, I will forgive their iniquities. He's married to the backslider. One today, you're not saved. Like Manasseh, you're following the course of this world. All the different idols of it. What will the Lord take from you to get you to that point of concentration? Now's the time. Now's the day of salvation. God speaking now. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.